Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very special welcome to our visitors and our guests. We're happy that you're here. And if you're here for the first time, we hope you feel at home at St. Benedict. We talk a lot about the generation gap, the differences in ages and how people of different generations communicate. At Thanksgiving dinner with my family, there was a little moment there that I saw my 14-year-old niece talking to my almost 80-year-old mother, and they seemed to be talking like best friends. And I told Ruhama, look at these two, how they talk. And when my little niece went away to be with the rest of, you know, the family and her friends her age, my mother said, you won't believe it. You know, your niece went to school, and she said to her teachers and her friends that her grandma was her hero. And I thought, that's so neat, right? You can tell the synergy when they were talking. You could see the friendship. And there was this one grandmother who took her little granddaughter to church, and she was trying to get her into church, you know, listening to the Word of God, listening to Scripture. And it was this gospel, you know. It was all about the end of the world, the end times, the second coming of Jesus. And so the grandmother said, so, honey, what did you think about what the preacher said, what they were reading in the Bible? What do you think about that? That nobody knows the time, the hour. Nobody knows when the world's going to end. The young girl said, oh, grandma, just Google it. You'll find the answer on the internet. That's the generation gap.
Yeah.
Just Google it. I spend most of my time trying to explain to my mother how to Google things. I think I finally convinced her to use it. But you know, the fact is, when we hear today's gospel, many people hear a message of fear. Many people hear a message of darkness. And as a matter of fact, to many people, hearing this story seems almost catastrophic. We have brothers and sisters of different Christian traditions and denominations who use this gospel to speak of the end times, and there's groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses and others who have foretold, you know, the end of the world about 20 times. We're still here. And I'm convinced that we cannot make sense of the words of Jesus if we don't make sense of the culture. Let me give you an example. We live in South Florida. We live near the tropics, near the Caribbean. Most of us here have lived through a few hurricanes. How many people have lived through hurricanes here?
Yeah.
Raise your hand.
Yeah.
Wow, I thought so.
Yeah.
Imagine talking to someone from Minnesota about a hurricane. All they know about hurricanes is what they hear on the news when it happens to us.
Thank you.
They have other things they deal with. But they can't relate. You get what I'm saying? They can't relate. Because it's only when you've been through these things over and over again that you know what you need to prepare for, you know what you need to do. As a matter of fact, when people move here for the first time and they spend some time here, you know, they ask their friends, you know, what is this like, this hurricane stuff? What do we do? That's what's happening today with Jesus and the gospel. The people he's talking to, the culture he's talking to, the people that are there are people from Israel. They are the chosen people of God. Jesus was probably speaking to the religious experts of his time and a few others who followed along. But he was telling them that even though they were very caught up in their rituals and they were very caught up in doing what they thought was important, that they needed to be prepared to receive the Lord. You know, Advent is a season of hopeful anticipation. We lit that candle and we said all these prayers about the patriarchs and Abraham and Sarah and all that because those people longed for the Messiah, the Savior. Those folks were the ones who for generations and generations lived in joyful expectation of the salvation that was to come to them. As a matter of fact, we say we are children of Abraham because of the promise, God's holy covenant with his people. And so remember, Jesus is speaking to these people who have been in expectation for a long time, but they've been distracted. They've been distracted by their activities. I don't know if you saw my spiritual thought for the week in the bulletin, but it's something about, from a spiritual writer, it's something about this thing of Advent is like, you know, hearing footsteps. But if you're running around, you're too busy running around, you can't hear the footsteps. That's what happened in the time of Jesus. The people were going about their business. The Savior was among them, announcing the kingdom, but they were not attentive. So please don't read this gospel as a gospel of fear, because that's not what it is. It's a gospel of preparation. It's a time of preparation. And we got to ask ourselves the question, are we that different? Are we that different even today, Christians? In the 21st century, 2016, are we that different from that audience that Jesus was addressing? I would venture to say, no, we're not. We too are distracted. Our hearts are not often open to God as they should be. We're going about our business, doing our things. Spirituality gets put on the second plane or on the third. We don't have time for scripture reading. We don't have time for prayer. We barely have time for worship because we got to do all this shopping, right? Decorating. We got a lot of things to do. We're busy. And our hearts can get distracted. What the Lord is saying today is prepare. I love this part of it. No one knows the day or the hour. No one knows the time. Our lives are not in our hands. But you know what is in our hands? Our openness to God. How open are we to God and to God's ways? I got to tell you, I'm a Cuban American. I was born in exile. My parents left Cuba before I was born. And ever since I was a little boy, 4 or 5 years old, I could hear my dad and my uncles and others in the family talking about, oh, when's Fidel Castro going to die? Oh, when's he going to leave? When is Cuba going to be free again? And that was the conversation I heard in my house all the time at every family gathering. I'm telling you, for decades. I think they gave up on it like 10 or 15 years ago. It's funny, my uncle called me yesterday. He said, I got to tell you, because my father died very young. My father died at 54. He said, but I got to tell you, Albert, I really wanted to talk to you today because right before your dad died, he said to me, brother, it looks like I'm not going to get back to see a free Cuba. I always thought I would. I say that to you because we do not know the day or the hour, do we? We do not know the time. We don't know why, you know, dictators live 90 years and people that are good die young. We don't know why things sometimes in the world seem upside down. We don't have to be God. We don't have to figure it out. All we have to do is open our hearts to God and prepare to meet Him. Because I'm going to tell you something. Whether your name is John Smith, Albert Cloutier, or Fidel Castro, you're going to meet God. And it says it in the Creed. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. He will come again. Why? Because Advent is not just about a little baby that was born 2,000 years ago. Advent is about the two comings of Christ. He came to us as a man, became one like us, but He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. We say it in the Creed, right? We say it every Sunday, right? Amen?
Amen.
So, if Jesus is coming back, when the Lord comes back, are we ready? That's what the Scripture's saying today. Scripture's not saying, be paralyzed and afraid. Hide yourself somewhere. Fear is not of God. Preparation. Opening our hearts. Conversion is what we're called to. And that's why we need Advent. Advent is the beginning of a new year of grace. Advent is the beginning of a new journey with God. Inviting the light of Jesus to illuminate every corner of our being. Opening ourselves anew to the presence of God. Saying yes to God again. Saying yes to God again. And realizing that we need God. We need to be prepared to be with God. That's our calling. When we give in to fear, that's just another distraction. When we give in to worry, it's just a waste of time. Gotta tell you something, as much as you worry, I love you mothers when you tell me, oh, Father, I'm having a horrible problem with my son. And I say, how old's your son? Oh, he's 55. And when I hear that, I feel like saying, okay, get off the cross, we need the wood. You're suffering for nothing. There's a lot of things we can't change in this world, especially our adult children. What we can change is our disposition and our openness to let God act in our lives. That's what we're called to. That's what the gospel calls us to. So today, as we begin this Advent journey, I want you to switch gears. Listen to me carefully. Switch gears. If you've been neglecting your spiritual life because you think you don't have time for prayer, guess what? If you don't have time to pray, you're in trouble. Your spiritual life will go through drought. I love when people tell me, oh, Father, I feel like I've lost my faith. I say, you lost your faith? I haven't seen you in church for a year. I wonder why. If you don't show up, that's half the job. Worship. Opening our hearts anew. Opening ourselves to faith. We're going to have a beautiful Advent retreat in just a few days here. On Wednesday, December 7th, right here in our church, we're going to have a time to pause. That day, listen, if you got to watch your TV show, you know, DVR it, record it, do something with it. That day, forget about everything else. Come on Wednesday night, December 7th, and make your Advent retreat. Make a time to renew yourself spiritually. We're going to have music, meditation, prayer. It's going to be a beautiful time led by Mrs. Kate Eaton, the wife of Bishop Peter Eaton. And we're going to have a wonderful Advent retreat. A time to transform us and renew us. See, those are opportunities we have. We have the beautiful adult education classes all week. Monday nights, Deacon Norm. On Tuesday morning, Peter Sterling has the wonderful class for music. And we have all these different opportunities to grow. We have all these opportunities to learn, to deepen our spirituality all through the week. We have all these different times with services during the week that we can make Advent especially holy, a special time. maybe take some time to make that pause and say, I'm going to come to the weekday service and just feed my spirit a little bit. All of those opportunities help us to grow. Ultimately, God wanted His Son to dwell among us. Ultimately, God sent His Son to be our Savior. But God wants us to make room for Him now. Don't just celebrate Christmas as a historic event that happened 2,000 years ago, because you'll be missing the boat. It's not about what happened 2,000 years ago. It's about what happens today when we open our minds and our hearts to God anew. And when we say, God's important now. I have a place for Him in my heart now. Preparing, yes, but by opening our hearts to God, preparing our hearts to receive Him. That's what we're being called to do. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.